I was looking through the plan and realized that this is my last Sunday of standing in this holy place, leading worship and preaching to you. I know a lot of you know that I'm moving on. I've been matched to the States and Felton Circuit. So from September, that's where I will be. It has been my privilege to serve you in whatever little way I have been able to do. You have welcomed me and my family with open arms. You have prayed for us. You have supported my work in the circuit and enabled the mission and vision of the circuit to be lived out through the lens of diaconal ministry and being able to be Jesus' hands and feet to those on the margins of society. These are all profound acts of love, and I have been really moved by your kindness and generosity, which have been channeled through Anne Collard. She's busy out there, and Anne has been busy over the years collecting gifts. You know, when you have your spring fair, your summer fair, Christmas fair, so all those things that, you know, were unsold, you just put them on the side, and sometimes we have other people donating whatever, and Anne has been doing that bridge, you know, between Southgate and North East Enfield, enabling us to run the football that we have at Founders End. And it was not only about food, we did, we do lots of clothing, and latterly also we've got a preschool that meets there. And we've been able to use toys, you know, and different things, you know, just to create a sense of community there, you know, and they've appreciated all those things that we have been able to do. And yes, I couldn't have done that without your input. So I'm very grateful. My children and I have had five very happy years in Enfield. We have been befriended, we have been challenged, we have been loved, and that is such a precious thing. It means more to us than I am able to express here today, and you all have been a great blessing to us. And for that, I want to express a sincere thank you, and God bless you. So what shall I say in my last sermon here at the Bourne, if I am to say much at all? Because as you can imagine, this is a bit of a struggle, going around churches and saying goodbye to all you lovely people. But I must say that the circuit is hosting a farewell service for me. That's going to be on the 27th of July, and it's going to be at Founders End at 4 p.m. And I'm sure you'll know, get to know more about that. Verona is going to do some announcements and stuff. Anyway, I feel incredibly blessed that on my last Sunday here, we are celebrating the day of Pentecost. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. Like I said before, it's not the birthday of Southgate, it's the birthday of the early church. So, happy Pentecost, my dear brothers and sisters. We did say happy Christmas and happy Easter, didn't we? Yes. So, Pentecost does not call attention to itself. There's no tinsel or the Christmas trees, nor are there pastel-colored eggs. But, you know, we just praise God with the inhabiting of the Holy Spirit. It is 50 days after we sang Christ the Lord is risen today. And the video we have just watched has given us a sense of what Pentecost is about. And our Bible readings for today also speak of the first Pentecost. God is doing a new thing, giving us a new understanding, just like it was when the early church was birthed. So yes, when we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church. And so our theme for this morning is praying for another Pentecost. Praying for another Pentecost. I do love Pentecost as it gives us the opportunity to celebrate the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as well as explore that unusual supernatural aspects of our faith, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit made evident by the tongues of flame and rushing wind, something that creates a community of believers empowered to share the good news of Jesus in the world in both word and in deed. The Holy Spirit makes the manger at Christmas, the cross at Easter, and the empty tomb all relevant to us today. And it is so that we often talk about the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate and focus on God the Holy Spirit. We give thanks for the presence, the power, and the creativity of the Holy Spirit. Just as the psalm which we all read so beautifully earlier is full to the brim with praise for God through creation, and at the same time helps us to focus on the creative power of God the Holy Spirit. How many are your works, Lord? All creatures look to you. When you send your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And for me, I could sense the passion of the psalmist's tone. The psalmist takes time to ponder, to notice God in and through what God has created. There is evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit all around. And our gospel passage from John 14 is an intriguing partner to the reading also that we had from the book of Acts, and makes it even more personal. Jesus makes it clear that doing the works of God is something that is the responsibility of all who follow him. But he also reminds us in the latter part of that passage in John that we don't do this on our own strength, but rather in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think that this is such a timely challenge for us. As we live in a culture of haste, there's never no time, no time to stand and stare. We're always busy with one thing or another. So it is a challenge for us to slow down and smell the coffee and feel the rain falling on our faces. It is also a challenge to notice God in and through what God has created. Spend time to enjoy the beauty of God's creation. We've got so much here in Enfield, even the parks, you know, some little rivers, you know, and all those things. You know, just take time to really, you know, enjoy God's creation. And we can only do this when we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We can only do this when our spiritual lives are rekindled. Jesus says that if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, he says, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. But what we didn't realize is that this Spirit will come with a real bang. And that was the explosive and passionate beginnings of the church. It was a dynamic public spectacle. And in that passage in Acts of the Apostles that we had, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And verse 3 talks about tongues as of fire. This is a place where wind meets fire. Can you picture that? Wind meets fire. That's dangerous, isn't it? These images from Acts 2 are compelling images, provocative images, images that bring to mind the wind of God that swept over the face of the waters in creation, the breath of God that gave life to the first human being in that creation story back in the book of Genesis. And it was a renowned theologian, David Patterson, who described the wind as an emblem of the spirit of the creative breath of God and a sign that God is about to accomplish a mighty work of renewal. A renewal of how the disciples will carry out that Jesus' last directive when he said to them, you are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so there is a distinctive and spectacular magic to Pentecost. The first Pentecost, after tongues as a fire, rested on everyone, and the apostles and other believers spoke in other tongues. Luke reports that when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. This community context is also mentioned in Acts 1, verse 14, where the followers of Jesus are said to be all united in their devotion to prayer. In addition, it is clearly stated in Luke 24:49, where Jesus invited his followers to stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. It is almost as if being together in the context of community, ready and expectant, provides the way for the coming of the Holy Spirit. What they saw didn't look like what we're doing here on this Sunday morning. What they saw looked like the aftermath of a party. We know what that means, don't we, when you've been partying all night. All were amazed and perplexed, the Bible tells us, and they were saying to one another, what does this mean? You know, like the video said, some were confused, some were excited, but others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. I think when people are acting funny, the best description will be that they are intoxicated with some substance or another. However, these people were not drunk at all, even though they looked like it. Wouldn't that be something to be so taken up with God that onlookers think that we are drunk with sweet wine? Wouldn't it be remarkable if we were to have another Pentecost here at Southgate with tongues of fire falling on each of us? Can you even fathom that happening here? People speaking in tongues? You might be saying, I'm glad that Jacqueline is leaving this circuit. What is she talking about? Tongues of fire. Yay, that is what I'm saying. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, follow me. Just like the day of Pentecost, fire follow me. It just reminded me of, this is one of the songs I used to sing as a child back in Sierra Leone on Pentecost Day. We'll be wearing all red, and then we'll have to stand and sing, fire, 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 fire follow me. Just like the day of Pentecost, fire follow me. Anyhow, that's only half the story of Pentecost. And to go back to the theologian David Patterson, what he did say about fire is that fire is also a symbol of God's presence, of God's power, and of God's holiness. This house of people of faith, becomes the receptacle of the holy power of God for a mighty renewal and revival. The reality is that the Holy Spirit moved the disciples from sadness to joy and from survival to renewal. The reality is that the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus' followers at Pentecost. When Jesus' disciples and the other believers spoke up, euphoria became acuity. Drunkenness took shape in deliberate truth-telling. It wasn't just some random or incoherent phrase, as you might learn on some of these apps like Duolingo, where you get things translated for you. But what they had been proclaimed was the message of God's work and God's power. The Bible describes it like this: amazed and astonished, jaw dropped on Luke's ask in verse 8 to 12 of Acts 2, then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? And he goes on to say all of the different types of people who were present there. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Well, what this means is a glimpse of how God looks at the people on earth in his new covenant era. Jesus makes an outstanding promise to his disciples. In this dramatic heavenly event, there is also an emphasis on unity. Remember that they're all together in one place. The Holy Spirit is for all who are saved, who call on the name of the Lord. And just like with that first Pentecost, it all starts with reaching across the differences and speaking and understanding. It is in knowing this that we know that God is not yet done with us here at Southgate. Pentecost still comes. The Holy Spirit does, in fact, still move among us, bridging the differences between us, helping us to understand each other in spite of all that would keep us apart. The Holy Spirit brings the fire and the wind of God to everyone, not only to church leaders, but to all believers in this communal experience. Each one of us is given the ability that is beyond human reasoning. What a thrill to feel God so deeply and to communicate the truth so persuasively. At Pentecost, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, a spirit that encourages and equips us to go out into the marketplace and witness to our faith in Christ. Pentecost was a communal experience, like I said, and it was only because they were together that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. When we are emboldened by the Spirit, we step out in confidence and in joy. It was the great evangelist, Billy Graham, who said that in his travels across the globe, he often met people who were very different from him. And yet he said, after a few minutes, it was almost as if they had known themselves all their lives. Why? He said because they all knew Christ. Their common spiritual bond cut through all the barriers that would otherwise have separated them. And they enjoyed fellowship as members of God's family. While it is true that the Holy Spirit blows where he wills, it is clearly in the direction of community building. The Spirit blows in the direction of overcoming divisions, of removing the barriers that separate people and bringing them together. As we recall, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one in Christ. Wherever community building is taking place, there the Holy Spirit is also present. At Pentecost, being in community, ready and expectant, gave birth to the church. And theologians have recorded multiple episodes of Pentecost in the history of the church, such as the flourishing of monastic communities back in the Middle Ages, during the Reformation, the arrivals of the first and second Great Awakenings in North America, and so on and so forth. And we also have the Pentecostal movement, where a lot of Pentecostal churches have sprung up. Jesus had been raised from the dead, shown to be Lord and Savior, but nobody knew how to talk about it. And few possessed the courage even to speak about Jesus. But then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began to talk. The Holy Spirit descended on, and things were brought to speech. People then began to talk to one another. And then they went onto the streets. The story is told that a large number of new members were received into a certain church. When asked what brought them to this particular church, several answers were given, including newspaper advertising, hearing the services on radio, on television, on YouTube, or whatever social media channel, or it was because of the preacher or the minister there, because the youth program they had was great, because of the type of music. But by far, the largest number said, "I came to this church because of a personal invitation from one of the members." Pentecost means that church community is empowered to reach out and extend invitations to those who do not know Christ. Pentecost means that a new wind of mission work is let loose upon the earth, and the Holy Spirit shows the church from the safety of locked doors in the upper room into the struggles and realities of the world's needs and meaninglessness without Christ. As God's people, we are to share God's story in languages that people who have never heard it can understand. Come, Holy Spirit, please do it again. Yes, what happened at the first Pentecost can happen to us now. Somewhere besides the Bible, I read that on the night of the crucifixion, it was Peter near the fire. He followed afar and warmed himself by the fire. Then it was Peter, in the fire itself, when he failed to live up to his boast and denied his Lord and got into trouble. But on the day of Pentecost, it was this very Peter on fire, empowered by the Holy Spirit to courageous witness. And we are told that what happened to Peter happened to all the disciples, and indeed, it can happen to us. In conclusion, and as we celebrate and give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who came and continues to come to remind us of God's love for us in Jesus, the one who comes and meets all kinds of fears to remind us that the future is in God's hands, the one that calls us out of our places of fear, even and especially when it's real, understandable fear, in order to serve others in love, with courage, and with hope. Let us not relent in our pursuit for salvation. With rushing wind and tongues of fire, the apostles experience the presence of God in power and in intimacy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent forth to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. They were sent forth to heal aching souls. They were sent forth to bear witness to divine, incomparable love. People responded, as we saw in the video. Thousands of people responded. In the video, it said 3,000 people were baptized on that day. And that Pentecost day ended quite differently than it had begun, with words that have come to form part of the church's baptismal covenant. The remainder of Acts 2 offers us a memorable summary of the communal life that resulted from that first Pentecost, with new believers devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. The apostles displayed signs and wonders, and their followers had all things in common, selling their possessions and sharing with one another, and new members were added to their numbers daily. The Spirit had come, the fearful had found power, a new community was born. It was a very good beginning. Let us continue to pray for another Pentecost. Amen.
Amen.